too. Before the queen. On my knees, I flicker up a glance. Scowling eyes. If she rolled forward, I would be crushed. Her shout concusses through high-ribbed chambers and caves, stills milling presences. A long blade lies across my shoulders. The edge catches at the nape of my hands.
I wore my rainbow pajamas and cradled the stripes in my mother's arms. Am I dreaming? I asked her. No. Go back to your childhood, she said. We're all here struggling just to stay alive. Didn't she know that I was already dead?
During the time of plague. In a dead man's home, mourners sprinkle mustard seeds on windowsills, nail mirrors facing outward on the door, cough carefully into the crooks of their arms. A boy on a white stallion rides through the Albanian graveyard, in his coat pocket, apotropaics, a head of garlic, holy water in a small glass jar, a lead crucifix, recently blessed. He waits for the horsed bulk to rise up at the grave where a vampire sleeps. The horse is unsure, steps slowly, clumps of fresh dirt clinging to his hooves. Others will follow. They will drive an iron needle into a corpse's heart, place bits of steel into the mouth and on the eyelids, metal shavings inside the ears. In the mausoleum, dead bodies accumulate. There are rows of corpses these days, their mouths filled with clear glass beads, or a whole lemon, eggs under their armpits, shoemaker's needles in their palms, hawthorn branches stuffed into their socks. Still, souls wander in that time of respite for 40 days after death. They crawl through open windows, nudge doors, touch their belongings and their loved ones. One last time before they pass from this terrible world into the next.
Nightscape 2. These roads have no signs. They've led us through earthquake ruins and fractured highways, past shells of buildings and ramps to nowhere, to other nameless, unmarked roads and bridges that turn back on themselves, where we search for our lost moments, for the times we could wait without shivering. The moon rises up in the belly of the off-ramp and crawls across the horizon like a crushed animal along the belly.
No lost Odysseus. For 20 years,
or was it 10,
and now he waited, spurning men who would replace the only one who mattered to him. 5 years of exile I have seen, furrows deepen on your brow, and the belt thickened slowly, no longer. I know that shirt, I thought that could. That scarf you wrap around your throat is not the one I wear. Where did you lose it? Let us not deign to speak of love and promises and God above and who it was that goes home from the chamber. A harlot's maidenhead, the old women say, will grow back after 7 years and a day of unremitting chastity. Why do I know this? I tiptoe past the sleeping beasts that scramble dust motes on the floor and touch the slumber on the bed.
Mistaken heart. Vampire, you walk through stony centuries, through an overgrown privet where hordes of insects thrive. Your sickly dwarf slept all night on the crumbling mortuary steps, trying to forget failings stuck in his feet like thorns. After dark, the night air runs with liquid pollen, drips false sympathy. A spotted bullfrog rolls in the mud, obliterating history and its hieroglyphs. Be careful. Both love and lies grow in the brush where foxes cover their tracks with straw. A white-coated man opens the wire cages, lets loose the hounds. The smell of anxiety stirs them. Hairs on their backs bristle. Your thoughts are weary, your worries clawed. Fearmonger, fallen fanatic, driven back into the woods, where your two pale anorexic lovers wait, dreaming of blood and bruise.
Naked angels drank water from Fiji. It's like drinking a warm blanket, they told her. They handed her a bottle so she could have a taste. It does taste like a warm blanket, she said. Then the police came and took them all away, not because they were naked, but because their wings were painted pink.
You can feel it watching, like a half-silver mirror, part empty, no matter how hard you look.
How hard you look?
How hard you look.
Or from what angle. You can't see the face, but you can feel it watching.
You can feel it watching.
Watching. We can feel it watching.
The confusion crouches in shadowed pools of dust beneath the eye.
Pools of dust beneath the eyes.
Pools of dust.
These are where the moon children swim unseen, silent in the ocean of storms.
Silent.
Silent in the ocean of storms.
Searching.
Searching. Searching.
Part 3. Accommodation. Slips through a neat slit in the swell of your back, then radiates to shoulders. She grips her talons, and your neck plates clench. Your forehead clouds, and your eyes hurt. You try to run, and even when you're sitting, you run. She reclines in your stomach. Her body, your body, her cusp, her host.
The last sweet tooth. To say she has been dying there and could anticipate the pain, this is something like a sweet truth. She's too weak to answer the doorbell. She stays in bed and eats candy hearts to placate her bitter one. Outside, children breathe hard through their masks, kick pumpkins, throw apples at each other. In a jeweled tuxedo jacket, the man she once loved is suddenly setting homes on fire, lighting doors with sulfur-headed matches. His white limbs she knew so well, moving with haste along starlit driveways, dodging raccoons, his eyes avoiding the gaze of night owls wedged in the hollow trunks of dying trees.
The bolt is off and inclined to play. This isn't hijacking. This isn't why I'm leaving. No, this isn't why. And I stand behind your bookshelf and I feel it bruise my spine, and the thumb of your anger shatters all my sense of time, and the volume of this anger spins around this ring of mine, and the volume of your anger happens through no fault of mine. This isn't why I'm leaving. No. This act.